All right. Y'all can go ahead and have a seat. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here at Ridgecrest. And man, I know I say it a lot, but I just want to say thank you for being here today. Man, I really do believe that y'all could have been a lot of places, but man, you chose to be here today. And the prayer of my heart is that the Spirit will move through this church body today. And I pray the same for this church as I do for all the churches in our community. Man, I want to give you a sneak peek. Man, next week, we are beginning a brand new series that we're calling House Rules. And as we start walking through the book of 1 Timothy, man, we got to understand that y'all know every household has a certain set of rules and that help it function in a proper way. And the same is true for the church because it's God's house. And so that starts next week, and I can't wait. Man, you don't want to miss out on that brand new series next week, House Rules. But today, man, today is Mission Sunday, and we'll be looking at a passage that is found in the book of Psalms, chapter 92, and we will be sitting in verses 12 through 15 for the majority of the time, almost smack dab in the middle of your Bible. So, man, as you tap, turn, or scroll your way to the book of Psalms, chapter 92, verses 12 through 15, man, please join me in praying three things. You know, it's really hard to walk these out. They're easier said than done, and that's why we have to ask the Lord's help. So please join me in praying that God would speak, that we would listen, and that the truth would set us free. Man, join me in praying those things. Dear Heavenly Father, God, man, thank you so much for all that you have done, for what you're doing, and for what you continue to do. Dear Heavenly Father, man, God, I pray that you would do those three things that we just asked for. God, we pray that you would speak loud and clear your truth today. God, we pray that you would please, man, allow us to hear that truth. And God, we pray thirdly that that truth would set us free. God, we ask all this in your Son's precious and holy name. Man, we need your help. God, please help us today. Amen. Man, today on this Mission Sunday, everybody say Mission Sunday. See, on this Mission Sunday, where you've already heard from Mr. David Kaya, man, the African director of Empower One, share a testimony of everything that God is doing and in the vision of what they hope to continue to accomplish. On this Missions Sunday, where we will conclude our service by commissioning and praying over those who have accepted the call to be able to take his name and make it famous and take that gospel message to the ends of the earth. On this Missions Sunday, just a few days before hundreds of us join together in our town with churches from all over the city of Greenville to actively seek the welfare of our community and the people living within it. On this Mission Sunday, man, I've been given the opportunity to deliver a missions-minded message. And so this morning, right out of the gate, man, I thought I would try to hit you with the most missional statement that I could think of. So first things first, you can write it down if you want to, but the first thing I want to tell you is this right here. Stop going to church. Yeah, you heard me. Man, in case you didn't hear me in the back, let me say it again. Man, I want to tell you this morning that you need to stop going to church. Man, we need to actually stop going to church. Listen to me, church family. If we want to make a difference in our homes, man, if we want to make an impact for the city, if we want to make his name famous in places like South Sudan, Honduras, or out on the Amazon River, we need to stop going to church and we need to start being the church, okay? Man, as Christ followers, man, we don't just go to church. We are the church. Man, at Ridgecrest, we believe that the church just isn't a building, but instead it's a living, active body of believers. And we know who we are. And when we know who we are, man, we know what we believe. Then when we know what we believe, man, we can achieve some amazing things together with the Lord. And so, man, first, we got to understand that we don't need to fall into the trap of just making church a destination. We don't just go to church. Man, when we just go to church, that's like going to the show. It's like going to the game. That's like going to the gym. That's like going to the grocery store. And it's so much more than that. Church family, God's highest calling for you is not to go to church. His highest calling for you is to live like Christ. And therefore, it's not about going to some destination, some building, but instead, it's about being conformed to the image of Christ. And so we don't just go to church, we are the church. Man, we need to be the church. And being the church is about being planted in the church. And we're planted in the church so we can be sent outside the walls of the church to be a light that shines bright in a dark world. So, man, elbow your neighbor and say, be the church. Man, for us to be the church, we got to understand that we need to be planted in the church. So instead of just going to church, it's time to become planted in the house of God. And you may be asking, like, where does that language come from, being planted in the house of God? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you, all right? It comes right out of Psalm chapter 92. So let's check it out. The last couple verses, 12 through 15, says this, starting at verse 12. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Man, that's the passage that we're going to be in today. So let's slow walk through this portion of the passage, starting back with verse 12. Let's look what it says about the righteous, all right? Man, the righteous, what do they do? They do what? Y'all complete this phrase. The righteous flourish. Let's say it together. The righteous flourish. So let's talk about that word for a minute, because I'll be honest, man, I think we need to talk about the word flourish and what it means, because the word flourish, that's not really something that's in my everyday vocabulary, okay? Like I could go days, months, or years without saying the word flourish. Like, if you come up to me, like, on the streets, and you're like, say, Justin, what's happening? Man, how's it going? I'm not going to say, well, I'm glad you asked. I'm flourishing, all right? Y'all know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think any of y'all ever went up to that guy at the gym that's pumping iron and like, hey, bro, I see you out there. I see you hitting the weights. Man, I see you getting them gains. Man, I see you putting in work. Man, you're flourishing, all right? Nobody said it the other night when they saw the Dallas Mavericks clinch that game winner. Man, nobody called each other and said, woo, the Mavericks, they're headed to the finals. Wow, what a flourishing backcourt. You know, Luka and Kyrie, they're just two flourishers. Like, nobody said that, all right? But here's the thing, flourishing, it's not a word that I use very often, but it's a really great image of what happens when you are planted in the house of the Lord. See, flourishing means thriving. It means growing. It means prospering. It means being a blessing. It means having spiritual growth. And when you're planted, if you're living righteous, man, you're planted and you're thriving and you're prospering. And so let's finish that verse. Verse 12, the righteous will flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. See, the psalmist, If you scoot back in the passage, man, he lets us know in verse 7 that the wicked, they have their season of flourishing as well. He says they're sprouting up like blades of grass, but they're about to wither. But the righteous, man, they flourish like a palm tree, like a cedar tree. And see, when you see a palm tree growing with all its strength, standing tall like a bold column, despite the scarcity of where it is and the drought of the desert, then we have a fine picture of a godly person who in their uprightness aims alone at the glory of God, and independent of all the things that surround them, all the life circumstances that are coming their way, they are made by divine grace to live and thrive where everything else is dying around them. See, the palm tree's palm branches was always symbolic of a triumphant entry or a victory. See, in Corinthian Olympic Games, when somebody would win the games, they would be presented a palm branch, like, here you go, you're the winner, here's your gold medal, all right? And when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, what do we call that? Man, we call that the triumphal entry. Man, here comes the kings, and so here comes the king, and they were waving palm branches at him. And so when we are planted, we're flourishing, we're triumphant, and we're victorious. And we're also like a cedar that's in Lebanon, all right? Man, these cedars were known for their size, their strength, their durability, their beauty, their usefulness, even their aroma. Man, the blessings come upon us as a righteous person. Man, they bring out the same attributes that are referred to when talking about this cedar tree. Man, when we are planted, we're being compared to flourishing like a cedar that is durable, strong, lasting, and pleasant. And these trees were evergreens. Man, there's life, there's strength, there's victory, there's fruit. Church, are we planted? Church family, are we flourishing? Man, we need to ask ourselves that. We need to go home and we need to do some spiritual inventory on our lives. We need to ask, am I growing? Am I blessed? Am I strong? Am I stable? Am I pleasant to be around? Am I victorious? And then look at verse 13. It says, they are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. Again, I'm going to ask it a lot today. But who will flourish? Scripture says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Now listen, please notice, scripture right here doesn't say those who are going to church will flourish. It says those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of God. And in the last two verses, it says, men, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He's my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Man, I love the imagery that the psalmist used right here. He says, they still bear fruit in old age. Listen, if you're one of our seasoned veterans in here, guess what? It doesn't matter your age. As long as you still have breath in your lungs, God's not done, all right? Man, that becomes more encouraging to me every year as a new year passes by. And it goes on to say that they stay so fresh and so green, green. Listen, their leaves are green. They're vibrant. Man, they're producing fruit. Man, they declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. Church family, I want to tell us that those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they're blessed, they're prospering, they're connected, they're emotionally engaged, they're making a difference, they're fulfilled. They are flourishing. The righteous flourish. Man, is that you today? See, unfortunately, many of us, if we're being honest, not only do we not use the word flourish, but we wouldn't use the word flourish to describe our spiritual walk. Man, instead of saying, I'm spiritually flourishing, if we're being honest, maybe we need to say, I'm spiritually dry. Instead of saying, man, I'm thriving emotionally, maybe it'd be more truthful if we said, I'm emotionally withering. Instead of saying, I'm connected relationally, man, some of us would need to say, I'm relationally absent. Instead of saying, financially, I have some breathing room, I'm able to bless others, man, so many of us would say, financially, I'm hurting, I'm strapped, I'm restrained. And instead of saying, I'm fulfilled spiritually, making a difference, full of joy, so many of us would have to say, man, I'm still searching. But as we search, man, maybe you're still searching. Maybe you're still reaching. Maybe you're still longing. Maybe you're still hoping for that thing, for that something, for that buzz, for that relationship, for that job, for that raise, or for whatever you think it is that you currently don't have that will fulfill what you are missing on the inside. Here's what I want you to know. Man, if we're feeling like we are going to church, but we're not flourishing, let's get planted. Let's get planted.
Because scripture clearly says those who are planted are the ones who flourish. Guys, we need to stop going to church and we need to start being the church. And being the church means that we are being planted. Secondly, I want y'all to know today that your life is a seed. You can write that down. Your life is a seed. Your life is a seed. See, a seed has a tremendous potential. Even though it's small, it has the potential to grow, to thrive, to multiply, to produce fruit, to be a blessing to others. But a seed that is not planted does not have the same potential. Think about it, all right? Man, an unplanted seed, man, instead it has the potential to lie dormant, to lie unused, to be unproductive, to be unfruitful, to be dissatisfied. Man, our lives are a seed. And I'm going to try to do my best. Oh, my goodness. I want to try to do my best to give you a couple of basic green thumb principles. This is as basic as you can get, all right? The first one is this. A seed can only grow if it's planted, all right? Nah, I mean, that's true. That's not funny. That's true, all right? A seed can only grow if it's planted, right? I mean, it seems like common sense, but who did the psalmist say flourishes? Those who are planted in the house of God. And in fact, Jesus did a really powerful parable, and he shared it in Matthew chapter 13. And he was talking about this farmer. He used the word sower. That was a word that would have been familiar and that those people would have understood. And he said that the sower went out to sow. I mean, y'all know the story is familiar, right? The farmer went out to plant some seed, and he threw some seed out, and some of the seed fell on a path. And you know, that was a path that was trampled on, and it was a hard ground. And since that seed could never take root, birds came up, and they snatched up that seed, right? And that seed never reached its potential. And some of the seeds fell on shallow soil. And so, man, they sprouted up, but because the roots never grew deep, whenever the sun beamed down, it got scorched and withered up and died immediately. And some started to grow, but then others, like plants, came around with thorns and choked out the life of those little plants as they were growing. And Jesus said, man, that's the worries and that's the concerns of this life. Church family, man, there's some people that have potential, but they never go anywhere. Man, there's some that start to grow, but then they fade away. There's some that start to thrive spiritually, but the worries and the concerns and the bills and the struggles of life choke out the spiritual growth. But listen, Jesus then said, but there's a seed that falls on good soil. And listen to what it does. It multiplies. It multiplies 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. That one seed becomes a massive blessing because it was planted in good soil. Man, who's the ones that flourish? The ones who flourish are the ones that are planted in the house of the Lord. But a seed can only grow if it's planted. The second thing I want to tell you is this right here. Man, going to church isn't the same thing as being planted. Going to church isn't the same thing as being planted in the church. There's a real difference. Like, man, you can even tell by the language that we use when we talk about it. See, for example, I'm going to give you two scenarios. Maybe this is somebody who just goes to church. They wake up on a Sunday and they can easily find themselves asking somebody, hey, man, you going to church today? I don't know. Man, I'm kind of thinking about it, but, man, we super busy, right? Man, have you stopped to think how busy we've been the last couple of weeks? There's so much going on, and there's that really important game today on television. And, man, you still tired from yesterday? I'm still tired from yesterday. You know, maybe if we didn't go to church, we could finally get to that restaurant before the crowd fills it up, you know. And then suddenly you've taught yourself out of just going to church. But when you're planted in the church, I mean, you never ask, are we going to church? You don't have to ask that question because church isn't a destination to which you attend. The church is a posture. It's who you are. We don't ask ourselves about, are we going to church? It's non-negotiable. It's identity inside of us. It's how we are wired. Just like, man, Shannon and I, we never say, hey, kids, you think you ought to eat food today? We never ask that. hey guys, y'all want to eat food? I mean, like, I don't know. Like, are we going to eat? Are we not going to eat? Like, I'm trying to, like, really hard make a tough decision. And maybe that's a bad example because one look at me, you know I'm not missing meals. But here's the thing. Like, you would never ask, let me say it this way. You never ask anybody, like, you wouldn't ask your family, hey guys, do y'all want to breathe oxygen today? Like, raise your hand if you're in the mood for breathing oxygen today. Like we don't do that, right? We don't even have to ask that, right? It just happens. It's part of who we are. It's how we're wired. And man, when we talk about church, even the Greek word that's translated as church, man, it has this great dual meaning. The word ekklesia, man, it means gathering, assembly. Man, the assembly is the gathering of a body of believers, but it also means, when you break it down, ek, it means out, and klesia, it comes from the word kaleo, which means called. It very literally means the called out ones, all right? And so in other words, man, we gather together to be unified. We gather together to honor God. We gather together to corporately worship Him and hear the word of God. We gather together to use our gifts, but as we are strengthened, what happens should not end in the church. See, as God works in and through the Holy Spirit, and He continues to just like really show up in a big way in our lives, man, we should not leave it when the church service is over. Man, we're only getting equipped to go into the real world to go change lives. See, when we're planted, man, we're not spiritual consumers. We're spiritual contributors. Too many people want to come to church and just consume. But when you're planted in the church, may you come to contribute. The church doesn't exist for us. As followers of Christ, we realize that we are the church and we exist for the world. The lost people need to know Christ. There's a massive difference between just going to a building and being plugged into a calling, a movement, a mission. Man, there's a big difference between just going to a building and being planted in the house of God. Real quick, I want to give you two things that begin to happen when you choose to be planted in the house of God. And number one, when you're planted in the house of God, man, your roots begin to grow deep. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust and confidence is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Jeremiah says that those roots reach deep in the water. And when the roots grow deep, man, what happens to the tree? Scripture says that tree's not bothered by the heat. It's not worried about the drought. And so, church family, man, I hope we find encouragement in that passage this morning, because when I think about all of us, man, I wonder how many of us right now have some heat in our life, have some spiritual heat, some trials that we're going through. Or I wonder how many of you, on the other hand, would say, man, I'm in a spiritual drought right now. Man, if that's the case, just pray, Lord, please help our roots grow deep. Because when our roots grow deep, we're not bothered by the heat, we're not bothered by the drought, because we are connected to a source that is greater than any problem on the surface. Well, ask Him to help your roots grow deep. Man, Joe and Denise, they just came back from an amazing trip and they took a trip to Yosemite National Park. And while they were there, they saw firsthand these huge, giant sequoia trees, these redwoods. There's a huge portion of them in Yosemite National Park. Basically 500 mature giant sequoia trees all together. And these redwood trees are the tallest living things on the planet Earth. Like, these trees, they literally can grow to be 30 stories high, and they can be 30 feet wide. And so it had me thinking, how in the world does a tree grow 30 stories high and not fall over? It's because they're roots. Man, their roots grow deep. In fact, man, their roots can grow anywhere to 100 and 150 feet deep and wide, and they spread out. And so you have this 30-story high tree with these roots going way, way, way deep in the ground and spreading out. And then you have another 30-story high tree, and those roots are doing the same thing. And here's the cool thing. What happens is their roots actually intertwine beneath the ground. We can't see it happening, but beneath the ground, they intertwine and they create a support system that sustains the strength and the growth that is taking place above the ground. Man, that's what we need in the body of Christ. Man, we need each other. Here's what I do know. Man, this week, opposition is coming for you. All right? You're going to face a trial. You're going to have a struggle. You're going to have a setback. You may even have to interact with a crazy person. And if you don't interact with a crazy person, maybe you are the crazy person that other people are having to interact with. But this week, you're going to face some sort of opposition. And man, if you have to face it alone, danger, danger. Because you're so much more vulnerable. But man, I try to do it often, but I cannot tell my life group enough. I can't tell them enough how many times, I can't tell them how much they mean to our family. Man, my life group knows that this has been a tough year for us. Many, many tears in our house, yet my family is stronger because of the love and the support that we get from our life group. Man, we're stronger because of the support system that our life group provides. We're blessed and we're encouraged because our roots are being supported by their roots. Church, we need each other. We need one another. Man, when you're planted, your roots grow deep. And secondly, when you're planted, your roots produce fruit. See, again, in that passage, it talks about when the roots are deep, the heat doesn't matter. The drought doesn't matter. Man, it goes on to say that the leaves stay green, and it ends in verse 8 by saying, and it still produces fruit. Man, it's crazy to think that we're planted, we produce fruit. And what fruit is it talking about? Man, I believe that the Apostle Paul talked about this in the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians. Man, he called this fruit the fruit of the Spirit. It's not our own natural, you know, fruits. Man, it's a spiritual fruit that comes from God. In other words, man, when we're connected to the spiritual vine, God produces spiritual fruit that Paul said would be displayed as, y'all say it with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, when you're planted, all these good things come up. Fruit is produced. Man, even if you're in a very difficult time, even if you're in a very difficult season, love still comes out. Joy still comes out in the middle of a trial. Man, like it says in James, you can consider it pure joy whenever you face those trials and difficult times because you are planted and God is doing something special in you. And then you recognize that these fruits, man, they're not just for you, all right? Man, you understand that your love blesses other people. Your joy is contagious. Your peace is attractive. Your faithfulness builds relationships. And suddenly, you start to realize, man, I'm planted. I'm making a difference. And then you need more, and you need more, and you need more. And you literally start fiending for more of this fruit. Well, good news, man. I'm the neighborhood hope dealer, all right? Our pastors are just dealing hope, and they just want you to try a little bit. They want you to just try it. Just pray for somebody. Just go out there and give to somebody. Just go try to make a difference for somebody. Just be a voice of encouragement for somebody. Just come and plant yourself in the church and serve, and maybe you have a Ridge 5-6er. Maybe you have a little guy come up to you and say, man, I don't have a dad at home, but because of you, man, you're like a dad to me. Man, maybe you serve on the care team and you're at one of the doors and you're saying hi to everybody. Maybe you say hi to somebody that doesn't look like you. Maybe they look a little different than you. And they say, you know what? I was afraid to come to church, but man, you made me feel welcome. You get that buzz. You get that thrill. And man, you see that God chose you and that he's using you to do his work. And then let's say maybe you miss a week of church, but somebody sees that and they call you and they say, is everything okay? Man, it's not the same without you. And you realize, oh man, goodness gracious, man, I'm getting some roots in this place. It's not just a place where I go to church, but this is becoming a real family. I'm needed here. God needs me to do what he created in me to do. And I'm known here and I'm loved here. I'm planted in the house of God. And then you recognize I'm not just saved from my sins, but I'm saved for the glory of God to make a difference in this community that he has placed me in and beyond, all the way to the ends of the earth. Man, this is such a difference between just going to church, just showing up, and being planted in the house of the Lord. Man, who is it that flourishes? Well, only the seed that is planted can grow and flourish. And so, church family, we got to ask ourselves, how do we do this? How do we go from where we are to where God wants us to be? Man, I would say if you're a Christ follower, it's go time. Man, it's go time. It's time to get to work. Like, church family, do we really think that we can find a way through all the spiritual opposition that Pastor Nick talked about last week when we were studying Ephesians? You know, the scripture said we're battling against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Do we feel like we can really fight off that type of temptation if we're not planted? Come on, man. Man, do we really feel like when we spend more time on fancy coffee than we do giving to the work of God or giving to people in need that we're becoming a disciple? Man, do we really think that when we spend more time on Instagram or TikTok or social in a day than we spend time in the Word in a week that we're being conformed to the image of Christ? Man, we got to get to work. We got to get planted. Man, I want us to be a church where we can all say, man, we're flourishing, we're thriving. Life's not perfect, but my roots are deep. My faith is strong. My brothers and sisters are praying for me. I'm needed. I'm known. I'm loved. Man, I'm part of something. I don't go to church. I am the church. I am God's ambassador in this world. Man, I gather together. I get equipped. And then because I'm planted in the house of the Lord, I go out strengthened to do the Lord's work outside the church. And that's what we're about today on this Mission Sunday. And not just this Sunday, but every single day that we wake up. Man, some of y'all might say, man, I tried that. Man, I went to church for 3 weeks in a row and nothing happened, man. I still feel like I'm in a drought. Man, I'll tell you what I tell my son. Things don't become full grown overnight, right? Church family, a tree takes time to grow. Man, I want to close with these five things that are needed for a tree to flourish. And man, I think we would do good to take note. It says one of the things is soil. Man, it takes good soil, fertile soil. Man, if we want to be planted, we need to have a heart that is soft and willing to be molded by our Lord. Another thing, it takes light. See, the word of God is our lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. It is what guides us, not culture. Man, it takes water. Man, good thing that Jesus is the living water who washes and renews our soul, right? Man, it takes temperature. Well, the fire of the Holy Spirit warms that seed that's planted in your life, and it takes time. And it takes a lot of time for a tree to grow. Man, you want to know the best time to plant a tree? It's 20 years ago. But the next best time to plant a tree is today. Because today is the best time, because today is the first day of the rest of your life. And God wants you to flourish like those evergreens. Man, he wants us to be a church full of people that are stable and strong like those cedar trees. Man, he wants us to be a church that's victorious and triumphant like those palm trees. Ridgecrest, man, we got to stop going to church and we got to start being the church. And that's what I love about this church, because I see so many examples of that taking place. Man, being the church means being planted in the house of the Lord. Only those who are planted in the house of the Lord are those who can truly flourish in all that God has for us. And when you flourish, man, it can't stay contained inside these walls. Man, it doesn't stop when you leave 6801 Wesley. It doesn't stay bottled up here. Man, it makes its way out into the community. It makes its way out into your home. It makes its way to the ends of the earth. Church, let's be a church that is planted in the house of the Lord so he can use us to do his work outside of these walls on a daily basis. Y'all pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, man, I pray for our hearts today. God, I pray that we would not just go through the motions, God, that we would not just show up for church, God, that this place wouldn't just be a destination, God, that this wouldn't just be some box that we check off, God, but instead, God, I pray that it would be what we're all about. God, I pray that it would be, man, where our identity is, not this building, but being a believer, an active believer for you. God, I pray that you would allow us to be planted in your house. God, I pray that you would allow us to flourish. God, I pray that you would allow our roots to grow deep. God, I pray that you would allow our roots to bear fruit. And God, man, the work that you do here would be so magnificent that it's not contained inside these walls, but instead, we can't wait to get more of it that we come in contact with outside of these walls. Next week for the city, that's happening down the road in Honduras, that's happening out on the Amazon River, that's happening in the Philippines, God, that's happening in South Sudan and all the areas around it. And God, man, we're thankful that you allow us to be a part of it. And God, if we're here today, and we don't understand any of that just because we just go into church. Maybe we hadn't even had a life change, but we're still just spectators. God, I pray that you would change hearts today. And God, if there's some of us in this room today where, man, we've had our life changed, but for some reason, man, we're not flourishing. God, please plant us. Please grow our roots deep. Please allow us to start bearing fruit. And God, man, I pray, God, if there's anything that I said that, man, has offended someone or offended you, God, man, please, please wipe that out. God, please allow us to we're not talking bad about church. We just want to understand that it's more than just a destination, God. Man, it's a body that's active, full of believers that are ready to be equipped as they worship you and ready to be sent out to make your name famous in our community and all the way to the ends of earth. God, I pray that you would help us do that. In your name we pray. Amen.